Holy touchdown, baby!
Chicago Sports, spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
And now that is an intro from Time Gone By right there for you, Harry.
Yeah.
Welcome in, buddy.
Yeah, JP is with us in spirit.
He is. The Payton Press are still available for you at WGNRadio.com. Of course, you see Jared all over WGN TV. But it's Mark Carmen and Harry Tynowitz with you today till 7.
Rise and grind.
Rise and grind. Bears and the Niners. Pregame tomorrow on 720 WGN 1-3. No postgame. Hamp, OB, and Kaz. We've got Blackhawks hockey tomorrow. So.
That'll be a great show, because now that the division is clinched, we have to hope that the Rams go south. I know that Josh Rosen and the Cardinals have the worst offense in the league, but Goff has not looked good the last couple weeks, and they're a little thin, the Rams.
All right, I'd like to throw a curveball at you as we start the beat here on 720 WGN, discuss a little bit of Bears, who are, as you just mentioned, 10-4 in division champions. Nobody predicted this. Maybe David Kaplan did, but that's about it. And the blind squirrel finds an acorn type of deal. How many games did you have the Bears winning at the start of the season, Harry?
I thought the Bears were a 5-11 team.
Okay, and most optimistic, you would say they would have gone 7-9,
6-10.
Okay, so you really had them down.
Because I was out John Foxed.
Right. Right, and not just John Fox, but Mark Trestman, and just so many years, so many losing moments in time. You just never thought the Bears were going to get out of it, and
I didn't realize the Bears had four Pro Bowlers on their defense, and really, you could argue that they've got six.
Sure, who do you think deserve to make it that did not get on there in your mind?
Well, the two Bulldogs. I mean, I don't think Roquan is going to make it in his first year, but that looks like a terrific draft pick. And since his club came off his hand, Leonard Floyd has been like a different guy. So I'm liking the way Leonard Floyd has played. And
they both have gotten better. There's no doubt about that. And Roquan has had a very solid rookie year. And I think that the club on the hand had a major impact on Leonard Floyd early in the year. But here,
try spending an hour with a club on your hand and things. It's not as easy to make a sandwich.
It's true. It's true. Peanut butter and jelly does not form as
right.
seamlessly.
Try washing your hair with a clubbed hand.
Right. And sacking the quarterback is also more difficult with a clubbed hand. Not that either of you. Neither you nor I have experienced the challenges of that, I don't think. You never were a defensive lineman slash linebacker in your day, were you?
I was not. In my dreams, maybe, but not in actuality.
Right. I want to ask a question to you, Harry. And,
yes, sir.
And to you, 312-981-7200. Who deserves the most credit for the Bears being in the playoffs? Who, in your mind, this is all about team, mm-hmm. and all about organization, and all about everybody pulling the same way on the rope. I get it. But if you had to single out one person via, it could be a management guy, it could be George McCaskey, for moving along and saying, hey, Ryan Pace, we want you to come over here from the Saints and run our club. You could say George. You could say Ryan if you want. Look at the draft picks that Ryan Pace had. Look at the way that even though he gave up three picks for Mitchell Trubisky, he still outdrafted John Lynch in the 2017 draft. Adam Hogue has a great piece at WGNRadio.com. You should read about that. You could point, if you want, to you want to just put it all on the big shoulders of Khalil Mack. I'm down with that. Khalil Mack came over here. Great job by Ryan Pace. But Khalil Mack came over here, and the defense, which was great, now became elite. I think that's a fair assessment. You want to go with the heart and soul of the D. You want to take in Akeem Hicks. I can live with that, too. Ed Obradovich would agree with you. You want to go on the offensive side of the ball, Harry. You can do that, too. There are a lot of options for you. Where are you going? Number one reason the Bears are in the playoffs.
Well, you know, it would have been nice if I could have used one of your options right there.
I just laid out the options. Of course you can use one.
Well, you didn't bring up Cody Parkey at all.
I did not bring up Cody Parkey. That's true.
Carl, it's amazing. You know, we learn in the end of the great movie, It's a Wonderful Life, how one man's life touches the lives of so many others. And that's what happened when Khalil Mack came here. As Khalil Mack, one individual, came to this team, and he infused. I mean, he just lit up the defense, which lit up the offense, which lit up the special teams, which lit up the fans. So Khalil Mack was the reason, I think, that the Bears went from an also-ran to a try to stop this runaway locomotive. And the guy responsible for bringing Khalil Mack here is Ryan Pace. So as great as Nagy has been, who you did not mention, I got to say it's Ryan Pace, because Pace outwitted the other people. Remember, the Packers were very close to getting Mack up in Green Bay. How horrible would that have been? So I got to give it to Ryan Pace.
I think that's a very fair answer, and it is interesting that I did not, as I was just rumbling through here, just didn't even address Matt Nagy in my notes on the first-year Bears head coach, who clearly has brought
Club Dub
a very positive attitude, mm-hmm. has partnered with the quarterback, who is still improving. And by the way, just a couple thoughts on Mitchell Trubisky.
Yes, sir.
Where are you at on the QB?
I like the fact that he uses his legs a lot. Uh-huh. I do not like the fact that he throws interceptions. He throws a lot. I think if we were to have somebody count, we could probably get a number. Ben Anderson, who's executively producing the show, I wonder if he could find the number for dropped interceptions this year. But I like Mitchell Trubisky, and we saw the drop-off with Chase Daniel. So the only chance this team has of getting to the Super Bowl is with number 10, Mitchell Trubisky, under center. So I like Trubisky. I don't know that he'll ever be like a top five quarterback in this league.
Did I not say it accurately, just for the record, a while back, where I think I laid it out? Look, the guy is never going to be elite.
Yeah, you did. You did.
And he's never going to...
You were dead on. You were dead on, Akakar.
I think I was... I mean, I think it's fair to say that I was right. Now, he's only in his second year. I could be wrong. He might turn into an elite quarterback. That's entirely possible. He's very early in his career. But I think that's like the safest, I wouldn't call it a hot take, I think that's the safest way to look at him. They didn't get the draft right. You'd rather have Patrick Mahomes. However, just a reminder.
Well,
hold on. Let me say this. Patrick Mahomes,
mm-hmm.
who I suppose he could go the other way too, Harry. But Patrick Mahomes has a great chance of being the MVP of the league.
Yes, in essentially his rookie year.
Right. Deshaun Watson would have been the MVP of the league.
Had
he not gotten hurt in his rookie year. They got the pick wrong, at least to this point. You can't argue against it. However, they weren't the only ones who got it wrong. If people knew that Patrick Mahomes was going to be God, taking, you know, he wouldn't have gone 10th. He would have gone number one.
Right.
Deshaun Watson would have gone, those two would have gone 1-2 if people knew how good they were going to be. So the Bears, now that's their job, by the way, to get these things right, but the Bears were in a bucket of people that didn't get it right.
They also didn't fail. Okay,
and this was not
a Cade McNown flop. This was a very, very good quarterback who, as you point out, has a license to get a lot better. What did he start, 12 games in college as a Tar Heel? You know, he's got a license to get a lot better, Mitchell Trubisky. I didn't realize how valuable he would be as a running quarterback. I thought Cutler did not do enough third down running. And Mitchell Trubisky does. Mitchell Trubisky will run on first and second down. Anything that helps move the chains is a good thing. And Trubisky already has a terrific understanding for a guy that doesn't have a lot of experience.
Yeah, that part of people criticizing Mitch, you can't win that way, I completely disagree with. This is one of his skill sets.
It's terrific.
It's a huge edge for the Bears that when it's 3rd and 10 and no one's open and he's under pressure, that he has the wherewithal to find his way to a first down, which he's done in that situation over and over and over again.
I don't know how people poo-poo that. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing.
It's a huge asset. And you know, people are texting in right now saying that they may have gotten the pick wrong, but they still got a franchise quarterback.
Right.
And that's true. You know, he very well, most likely, I would say, is going to be here if he doesn't get hurt for 5, 6, 7, 10 years. I think that's a very fair take.
For whatever reason, quarterback has been a position the Bears have not had any success with. There was 1 year of Jim Miller. There was 1 year of Eric Kramer. And McMahon, you know, got him to the Super Bowl. But it helped that they had the best defense in the history of football playing at the same time as Jim McMahon. You know, for years, Walter Payton was the leading receiver on this team. This is a team that hasn't gotten receiver right. So look at what Ryan Pace did. He upgraded the receivers, and he upgraded the quarterback. And also, Matt Nagy, he figured out how to use Tariq Cohen, which the old regime had no idea how to do. Those five-yard passes to Tariq Cohen's are like, those are like extended handoffs. And the guy can do just about anything. And he deserves to be in the Pro Bowl.
Well,
and
he also deserves to be mentioned, if I may, as guys that you could point to the number one reason why they're successful. Because if you didn't have that guy...
Oh, he's the best weapon that the team has.
Right. If you didn't have that guy on that on offense...
You'd be in trouble.
Forget about special teams. Just on offense. And just the wheel route alone... Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is bread and butter. That is home base. That comes to play at huge moments all season long. So that's another guy that can be the team photo. Bottom line, all the rhetoric out of Hal's Hall this week from Matt Nagy on down, where we're still playing for seeding. Of course, we're all in. How different is that from when you go all the way back to the preseason when they weren't playing anybody, were completely punting until week one? Now, you could, it's almost sort of similar. You could actually hear him say, well, look, we know that we're in the playoffs. We know that it's highly unlikely that we're going to pass the Rams and or Saints. So we are going to do our very best to keep guys healthy for the divisional round playoff,
right,
which they're not saying at all. So I think that's I think that feels right to everybody, correct?
And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I've been doing it for 24 years. This Bears team is so locked and loaded. The defense is so loaded. These guys are not going anywhere for a while. You've got a lot of guys that are going to be here that are going to develop as Bears. This is not a team with a ton of guys that are in their final days that are leaving the team as the season ends.
Everyone's under contract.
This is a team that you have control over, and this is a coach who, you know, had 10 years under Andy Reid, and he's just starting to figure out what he can do on his own. I think they're in a great position to succeed and succeed again.
I mean, what you're saying is if they don't win at least 3 Super Bowls during this particular Chicago Bears era, that would be a major disappointment.
Yes, and I still feel that they should have won at least 3.
That's for sure. But, you know, Khalil Mack's here till 2024. I mean, that's like every other year winning the Super Bowl. What's the big deal? That seems completely and utterly plausible, right? All right. Biggest reason the Bears are in the playoffs, 312-981-7200. This is 720 WGN. The Blackhawks look to take home an early Christmas present with a W against Florida on home ice. It's the Blackhawks and the Panthers Sunday at 6.
Three in a row for the Hawks.
Are you...
what a great week.
When's
what a great week. Ad Anthem singer is here, Jim Cornelison, his buddy Frank Catalano. He's got a new album out. And Dylan Sakura, part of the new breed of the Hawks. Man, did you see that kid last night, Colin Delia?
So, by the way, you can watch the game at 6 on WGN TV Sports. You should listen here, 5:30 pregame. And, Harry?
Yes, sir?
When's your next watch party with the Blackhawks?
My next watch party, Carm, will be Thursday night. Thursday night will be at South Elgin with members of the Bud Light Ice crew. These girls are lovely, wonderful, and we'll be at the Buffalo Wild Wings Thursday night, where you can shoot the puck to win Blackhawks tickets and a team autographed stick.
New gig for Harry out there watching games. Kind of a big deal.
It's... You know, I wish I could be, you know, doing some of the stuff you're doing, Carm, but I'm thrilled to be working with the Blackhawks.
Why would you be wanting to do the stuff that I do? You got your own life of amazement over there.
I don't know, Carm. You are you're part of the purple. The purple.
The Wildcat is beautiful right now. That's true. That's true.
I thought they were going to win last night.
Quick Carm story for you, since you're talking about me. I'm going to take the opportunity to tell you that I was up in Galena for a couple of days, right?
Oh, it's a place one takes their girlfriend when they're about to pop a question.
That's interesting. Conversation that you want to have that I'm not going to have, but we did. There was no popping of any questions on this particular trip, but so
no popping of any kind. No corn got popped.
We did go to, there's the Great American Popcorn Company up there. It's very, very delicious. But so we were staying at this cabin in the woods, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a remote...
A cabin, right?
Remote way to get there, if you will. You're on this dirt road. You got to go up this little bluff, if you will. You got to open up this gate. No one's around. You really feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. So we're sitting there in this quiet cabin, first time in the cabin, and you're in the woods and you're trying to get, you know, you're trying to get acclimated. I'm in the woods. I'm cool. I'm not scared that some bear is going to eat me. you know, city guy trying to be tough.
Like Dan Hampton, you mean?
Right. I mean, I went to Camp Nabagamon in the day. I learned the J stroke canoeing, hairy little C stroke. I know what I'm doing out here. I can build a fire. So we're sitting there, and this cabin is rustic, but it still does have a TV, DVD player, whatnot.
You're really roughing it, Carm.
Right. So, but anyway, we're sitting there on the futon in the front room there. Futon downstairs, two single beds in the upper regions of the cabin. We're sitting on the futon, middle of the afternoon. We've been there an hour. Knock on the door. And I swear my head went through this roof of the cabin, just terrified. Yes, like who? You know, I'm in the woods now. I think that Freddy Krueger's about to show up here, and it's all going to be over. And we open the door, and it's a 90-year-old, roughly, by the name of Lynn, who nobody told me that anybody was going to be staying in the cabin. Are you guys authorized to be here? Yes, terrifying woman at the door. We are authorized to be here. It was a very...
How'd you get the cabin, Carl?
How did I get the cabin?
Yeah.
It's an old friend of mine, their family. We did a little bit
of
a...
An old family friend?
Yes. I did a favor for them. They did a favor for me, that type of thing. Thank you, Harry. Sure, yes, fine. It was my girlfriend from college who now lives out in Portland.
You took your current girlfriend to your old girlfriend's cabin.
And everything was full disclosure, all that went down. Moving along, can you compare Mitchell Trubisky Scrabbly to Fran Tarkenton off the text line? Can we go there now?
Well, sure you can. They're both war number 10, but there's no way in hell you can. Fran Tarkenton was one of the greatest scramblers in the history of the world. You can YouTube, it's about a minute 10 seconds. Fran Tarkenton, whose father was a preacher, Fran Tarkenton was great, just a spectacular player, and he was about 5 foot nothing. And Wally Chambers of the Bears used to dance on his chest at Soldier Field, and I took great joy in that. Mitchell Trubisky is a different runner. I wouldn't say he's a scrambler. I'd say he's a runner. Fran Tarkenton was the scrambler.
Well, see, I think it's interesting, though, and obviously football has changed tremendously, and it's hard to compare to 1980s Joe Montana statistics or Marino to the guys today, and to go back even further to Tarkenton and say Terry Bradshaw, it's very hard to make any comparison there. But I do like, for Mitchell Trubisky, a Terry Bradshaw-esque comparison, if you will, because what do you like about Mitchell Trubisky? The things that I like about him most is, you know, that he's got tremendous goodwill, right? You know that he's all about football.
Confidence. He instills confidence.
He wants to do well. He wants to be a leader. I would bet a lot of money that he's not going to get in trouble off the field. I don't think we're going to hear about Mitchell Trubisky doing anything other than football for his entire career here.
Don't jinx him.
That's how I feel it's going to go.
He's also not afraid of hard work. You could tell he's put in the work. He's improved. His footwork has improved. He's just strong on the field.
Right, and what would you say about Terry Bradshaw?
Terry Bradshaw was lucky he played with the people he played with.
Exactly right. Played with a phenomenal defense. Played with Franco Harris. Played
Lynn Swann and John Stallworth.
You know, the immaculate reception, that wasn't a good pass. It just ended up working out for the Steelers, okay? Terry Bradshaw, his completion percentages, if you go back over, the guy was below 50%. Over and over and over again, Harry.
And he had trouble counting the 50.
It's 1972, 47-7, 73, 49-4, 45-3, and 74. He never even touched 60. My point is that the Steelers won multiple Super Bowls with a guy who's revered, loved, on every, you know, on every radio station, whatever, whole thing. But he wasn't some great quarterback, and they won Super Bowls. Maybe that could be somewhat of a path for Trubisky. Well,
Bradshaw brought confidence to the table, and he was also in the Smoking the Bandit movies.
That's true too. All right,
and Fran Tarkenton was on That's Incredible.
That's true.
Kessler, you're so
that
good.
Is true. Who was the girl on there?
Kathy Lee Crosby.
Yeah.
And John Davidson, the chiseled. Good looks of John Davidson.
He posed nude for Helen Gurley Brown's magazine.
That I did not know. And I'm trying to unpicture that. Thank you.
Quick time out on that note, as we will get into Bob Kessler's news. Jim Cornelius and the Anthem Singer is going to be with us after the news here. The news coming up in 1 minute and 30 seconds on 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Hawks.
720 WGN. This is The Beat, 534. Hope you're having a great afternoon. Mark Carmen and Harry Tynowitz with you as we are pleased to bring some royalty into the studio. Harry, feel free to say hello.
Well, we got Frank Catalano here, and we have the world's greatest national anthem singer. You'll recognize his voice, his golden tones, if you've ever been at the UC. No matter what happens with the team, it is the best start to a hockey game in the history of the world. Jim Cornelison at Anthem Singer. Thanks for coming in, Frank.
Hey. Thanks, Harry. That's quite the introduction.
Well, it's true. I'm not the only one thinking about it. And before we get to the new release you guys have, the album Available, Jim, you are having a very strong year. Are you noticing a different type? I'm a little upset with a lot of fans that have jumped off the bandwagon. From your perspective, has anything changed in terms of the energy for the anthem at the UC?
Mark was just asking me about that, and I said, I think people are still really engaged with it. So I got to admit I have seen a few more empty seats. For years we didn't see any at all, right?
Well, I think that's good. That's about to change right now.
Well, yeah, things have been kind of exciting lately, right? They really have.
Hell yeah.
There's some reason for optimism. That's great.
So, Jim, when you look forward to coming into 2019, everybody does New Year's resolutions, right? And you've been performing at such a high level for such an incredible period of time. I would call you the Michael Jordan of anthem singers. How do you take it up to the next level when you try to like build on what your success in going forward here? There's a big question for you.
Well, for me, I think that I'm out doing a lot of anthems all the time. And so in my perfect world, I'm doing a few fewer anthems, but I'm making more money doing it.
And are you excited for South Bend on New Year's Day?
Very much, yeah. I think that'll be fun to go over there to Notre Dame. In 2009, the Winter Classic was a blast. I had a great time, and I think this will be a lot of fun, too.
Right. The difference is this year the Hawks are going to win the game.
Of course.
So what do we got in the new tune coming in here? I'm excited to hear what's the. I know there's excitement in the air here, Frank.
Definitely excited. Me and Jim had a lot of fun working on this new album together, and always have a blast performing together for sure. So
yeah, I met Frank through Jimmy Chamberlain from the Smashing Pumpkins, and I did an
anthem. Let's just throw out that name, Smashing Pumpkins.
Let's just throw it out. But they actually asked me to do an anthem with them when they did a concert in Northerly Island a couple of years ago. And I came out in the middle of the song United States, did the anthem, and then they came back in with the big guitar crash, and that was it. It was fantastic. But Jimmy said, hey, I have this jazz group, and why don't you come out and do a couple tunes? So I came out, and Frank is kind of the front man there with a saxophone. He's an incredible player. And we kind of hit it off, and it was like, hey, this would be kind of fun to do this. And
would you say Frank has a wailing sax?
is wailing sax a good thing?
I mean, I guess it can be at times, depending on what I ate before I played or all that type of fun stuff.
How does the collaboration go? Like, what the give and take, and who wants to give credit for what?
Well, definitely... basically, Jim started coming over and just kind of jamming at my house, and we went through and picked out some songs that Jim really, liked singing and that I like playing, and it pretty much happened pretty easily and naturally from there. So
yeah, it was great. But it's funny you asked that question. I'm lucky because I've got a Indie Music Award winner, Grammy Award winner guy who happens to be a Blackhawks fan.
Lifelong Blackhawks fan.
Wearing the hat right now.
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, man, cool. I'll do this with you. That'd be cool, bro. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. This is not just...
musicians, you know. There's something about being a musician. Musicians just fall out of bed and they're cool. And they've always got, like, the babe wife, and they've always got, like, the stories, and, you know...
Here comes the jealousy.
It's not what? Jealousy, Carl. He gets to just, you know, wake up and be cool, and I have to work at it and fail.
Frank's the one who wakes up as cool. I was an opera singer. I'm not sure that falls in the cool category, but Frank's definitely cool.
You know, opera singer, definitely not cool, but like cool to people that who like know what cool is, Jim, if you know what I'm saying, right?
Oh, really?
Well.
Yeah, okay. In your personal estimation, where does it fall on the cool scale, Mark?
I mean, I feel like the opera singer does very well for himself, but you don't have like the... You know, it's not like being the star quarterback, per se. It's a different...
I thought it was just like that. Yeah.
So the opera singers are starting to text in, Carm.
Are they really?
Yeah. They're saying they've got a couple of fat ladies that want to meet you after the show.
That seems awkward. Musical influences for you guys growing up, recently, whatever?
I mean, for both of us, it kind of runs the gamut. Me being more of a jazz guy, of course, like John Coltrane, Charlie Parker, more traditional jazz guys have always been my most favorite.
I think with, you know, outside of opera, because that's what we're talking about doing here, I had to kind of find myself a little bit. Of course, I heard Sinatra a lot, but initially, and in fact, we do a couple Johnny Hartman tunes. I was listening to some Johnny Hartman, and I thought, well, I can kind of make that kind of sound, you know? Maybe that's a direction I could do something fun, you know?
Well, Frank, you started playing when you were like 6.
I was very, very young. We have my godson Paul here behind us in the studio. I was definitely, by the time I was Paul's age, like 11 or so, I was already playing at Andy's Jazz Club down the street here pretty regularly and stuff like that. So
how do you talk your parents into letting you go to a jazz club where like people are like sipping cocktails and all kinds of women are running around there and stuff like that?
It's called good parenting.
I think so, because somehow it just seemed to be a natural fit for everybody, my parents included. So I appreciate everybody being up for that, because nowadays. You know, 30-some years ago, there wasn't the safe places and all these things we were talking about as far as people being a little bit more overprotected. Definitely, I think both my mom and dad were just kind of like, okay, we'll go do some stuff, and I'm going to have a martini, and we'll pick you up at the end of the show.
Hey, how many high school kids get to skip school to go on tour with Tony Bennett?
That was fun.
he did that when he was 17.
Tony Bennett doesn't have a driver's license because he hears music in his head all day.
Is that true?
We took an Uber because I think not driving and hearing music can be pretty fun and easy. So, but yeah. No.
So you knew you had a talent for it very early, and your parents did as well. Is that about fair to say?
No, everyone was very supportive, and I just kind of knew since I was maybe like 12, 13 that's probably what I do for a living. And I was already being paid to perform at places at that time.
That's cool. Well, Carm, you knew at 12 or 13 that you were going to be an NBA basketball star.
I did know that. Didn't work out, but I knew it. It was right there for me. Then I got cut by the Edgewood Junior High basketball team.
That sounds painful.
I'm still bitter about that, but I'll get over it, I think, by the time I'm 86. 86 is what I'm shooting for. Where can we hear the new album?
It's on, what's the green one? Spotify. It's on Bandcamp. It's on iTunes, right?
Everywhere that has music online, you know, Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, pretty much anywhere that you listen to music.
If only there were a big holiday coming up that somebody needed to get gifts for and they could just like push a button and buy this.
you can on, I know, the Amazon demand. They will actually make CDs per order. So you can do that if you want.
People are texting in or from the 630, Jim. Heard Jim sing at the House Pub in St. Charles on St. Patrick's Day, 2017. He was amazing. So there you go.
Look at that. And that was with Frank, by the way.
Okay.
I love the House Pub.
Yep.
We had so much fun.
Yeah, we did. We had a great time. And one of the tunes I did out there was Bésame Mucho, which is one I sent you you know,
we've got a couple. Which one are we going to hear first, Ben? Which one do you want to play first?
I want to play them all.
Well, give us which one? You got Bessemer Mucho right there?
Yeah.
Can you start at like about 143, 144, Ben?
Whenever you want me to start it.
Well, okay. I'd like you to start it now at around 143, 144.
Okay, so this is Jim Cornelison, the Blackhawks anthem singer.
Como si fuera esta noche la última.
Comes Frank. Now this is some great stuff.
Hey, come on now. I mean, am I cool now?
You're not just cool. You're sweet. You're on it. And I feel like we should be having a cigar and something.
I'm cool because of Frank's coattails.
Yeah, I was going to say, the coattails. Stay on those coattails, buddy. Jimmy Dorsey recorded this song. Placido Domingo recorded this song. Some group, the Beatles, recorded the song. This is, I don't believe it's ever sounded like this. And, you know, perhaps the coolest saxophone playing I've heard since the big man himself, yeah. Clarence Clemens.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Harry.
People are texting and they want you to do your best Boris Karloff, Mr. Grinch, please.
Oh, my God. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
That'll work.
I don't remember any more words, but I did this song with Harry a couple of years.
And it was great.
And it was great.
Have you heard any of Harry's songs recently? The guy is on fire.
Okay, that's a good idea.
It's so good, Jim.
The best voice in the city.
Frank, I'm telling you, you got to get the CD of Harry's best hits. What was the last one?
Tariq.
Oh, yeah.
The Tariq Cohen song?
The Tariq Cohen song. It was epic. I mean, it was one of the worst things I've ever heard, but it was so good. I'm telling you, it was amazing.
I have a friend, Alexi Androkos, who was like one of the finalists on American Idol. And Alexi does all my Perry songs, and they're great. All I want to do is get the the words out, funny, you know, cool lyrics. And Carm thinks it's funny to make fun of my voice.
Maybe you need an award-winning saxophone player on this.
Don't tease.
Well, congrats, guys, on the new album and working together. And it's super awesome. And you'll be there tomorrow night, Jim?
For the Blackhawks?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. I'll be there. Yeah,
yeah. And again, if people want to get this, people want to buy this, how do they buy this?
I mean, basically, type in Jim Cornelison or Frank Catalano in Google, and all types of stuff comes up. So,
all right, yeah, great. The album's called Stepping Out. It's on all those major media outlets.
Here's another one from Frank Catalano on sax and Jim Cornelison on vocals.
Great to see you guys. Thank you to Anthem Singer and Frank Catalano for stepping on in here on 720 WGN The Beat. Some sweet music right there, Harry.
Yep, some sweet music. Sweet victory for the Bulls last night at the UC, and Lauri Markkanen was a big part of that, Carm. I don't know about you, but some of us are still checking out the Bulls.
I am, of course, checking out the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, Harry,
yes?
I think what's going on
mm-hmm.
over at West Madison.
1801
West Madison. 18 or 19? I feel like it's 19. Sure about that?
I thought it was 18.
I could be wrong.
Because it used to be 18, and then when they moved it, it was 1801.
Nobody knows nobody knows addresses anymore, Harry. It's all on the old Twitter. But here, none of that matters. I think
yes
that the Bulls are actually engaged in the most brilliant form of tanking and deception. To
what, in December?
Not just in December. I think this dates back to
years ago.
At least all the way to last year when they started the season out 3-20, and then the great Nico came back, and all they did was win basketball games. Right,
mm-hmm.
10 in a row, 11 in a row, whatever it was, and then they're like, you know what, we've had it.
We can't have this winning.
We cannot have this winning. This is not going to lead us to the promised land. We must trade Nico. Him and Bobby Portis can't get along. They had a fist fight.
So the fight was made up. It wasn't an actual fight.
The fight itself, people did see the fight, but I think maybe, perhaps, Bobby was told something about that. Maybe Bobby Portis was told something. Hey, Nico said this about you, to really enrage Bobby, because they knew that Bobby could perhaps lose his temper. So this whole thing could have been orchestrated all the way back then.
They thought he could have lost his temper then.
Right. So I'm trying to make sense of all this because, you know, you wouldn't think that a 26-year-old guy, stretch four, plays the game exactly how he would want it, was very instrumental in New Orleans actually last year, being
right.
better with Nico and Boogie out than when Boogie was playing.
A guy who's played in, you know, competitions all over the world and succeeded with the best players in the world.
Right.
Was against the best players in the
was
world.
Was just entering his prime. The Pelicans won a playoff series last year. Nico was a big part of it. You would think that you wouldn't get rid of a guy like that unless you were in the brilliant tank. And then you go to the offseason. Let's go to the mm-hmm. offseason, all right? Fred Hoiberg. 3 years with the team. There's no real way that a logical person could look at Fred Hoiberg and say, that's the coach that I want for my team when we get to the next level. There's no way that you could have looked at that. And then in the offseason, you had Dwayne Casey, 59 wins up in Toronto.
The reigning coach of the year?
Reigning coach of the year. Some reason, well, the reason being LeBron and not getting back to the Cavs, but which was reasonable considering Toronto's talent, but they put all the blame on Dwayne Casey. Totally unfair. And he's sitting right there. You could have been in that discussion. Instead, no, not interested.
Pistons jumped on it like a fumble.
Pistons jumped on it. We're set with Fred. Okay. So then logically, like again, you wouldn't think that the Bulls could have thought last year that Fred's the guy, but that's the decision they made. Then let's go in the offseason. You know what?
You've spent a lot of time on this, Carm.
I'm trying to get on the wavelength with Pax and Gar and how yes. they're thinking. Let's go out.
Did they intentionally injured Zach LaVine?
See, now that's the part that really gets interesting.
Yeah.
Because all these injuries have been coordinated. Chris Dunn gets a knee injury. Miraculously, Bobby Portis gets one too, because they're not really good enough on their own to impact, but when you put them all together, then we can really ensure the losing. Zach LaVine gets an ankle injury. Somehow Bobby Portis gets an ankle injury too. How does this happen? I don't know. Maybe it's Bulls genius.
So in your mind, has this anything like this ever occurred prior? Any other team in the NBA ever done something like this?
I don't know if anyone's ever actually been this brilliant. Like if you go to the offseason, Jabari Parker. Can't play the three, can't play the four.
I thought Jabari Parker was coming here to play for the Bulls.
Right. And also a guy who can be a malcontent, can just, for whatever reason, not want to play, can take 7 hours to get all his warm-up gear and clothing off to get into a game when he was checking in Philly. You should check the video on that one. That's one of my favorite moments of the year. Terrible fit for the organization. could have made numerous other moves, had lots of dough, but no, we're going to bring in Jabari and just add in another straw to the drink that doesn't make sense at all. Brilliant move for the Tank, and now you're going to get to trade Jabari or whatever they're going to get for Jabari Parker. So and so then, to top it all off, for the brilliant Tank, get Zion Williamson or whoever falls to them in the draft, we are going to fire Fred Hoiberg in the middle of the season, early in the season, even though he's had no chance whatsoever to win, and we're going to hire Pat Riley Light times 1,000 when he's coach of the New York Knicks, or Jeff Van Gundy. We're going to hire tough guy Jim Boylan, who's going to come in here in the 3-and-D NBA world where everybody scores 130 points, and we're going to practice after back-to-backs. We're gonna grind it out. We're going to walk the ball up the court, and we're going to play Bulls basketball.
Now, isn't Boylan a Popovich guy?
And right. He's, well, and my understanding of that Pop was perhaps ready for Jim Boylan to get another opportunity.
Disenchanted?
I don't know that for a fact. I just heard that once. Regardless, bottom line, we're gonna hire Jim Boylan. We're gonna scan the whole basketball coaching world. We're the Bulls. We're looking for the best guy. Oh my God, he's sitting right there. He's been in our building. He's been at the Advocate Center. He's been at the United Center. We're hiring this guy because he's gonna bring. See, there's no way they could actually think that. So this has to be the master plan of the Tank to get Zion or JJ Redick. Not JJ Redick.
So the end game here,
yes,
is that the Bulls will end up competing for a championship quicker this way by being the 30th best team in the 30-member NBA.
Look, RJ Barrett, so I'm trying to say. Sorry. Yes, right. That's the plan, Harry. This team is not satisfied with being in the middle. They don't want to be a regular playoff contender. They just want to win NBA championships. And it's painful for the fans, and it's taken a while. But so they tried to sort of act like they were doing something good and whatnot. But deep down, they knew that this was going to be the brilliant Tank, and they were going to get their guy.
Why not just do what the Sox did and say, "Hey, we're going to rebuild"?
Well, you know, I can't answer that question, but I really do. Maybe they just. This is an experiment. Something like
I was getting awfully sick of them playing just well enough to be the last team in the playoffs, and them going up 2-0 and then losing four straight.
I'd kill for that. They were up 2-0 on the Celtics. Rondo doesn't get hurt.
No, I don't want that. I don't want to have no chance. I don't want to not have a chance at winning a championship. I want to get so bad that we get a lottery pick and then we compete.
Yeah. Okay. It's a nice, beautiful idea, but you know, there's nobility in being in the middle. Let's take a quick time out to get to news somewhat on time. 720 WGN. WGN, the beat for one more hour, taking until 7 o'clock. Mark Harmon and Harry Tynowitz with you as we thank Jim Cornelison for stopping on by. We've had a busy White Sox Weekly, James McCann.
Frank played with like Miles Davis when he was 14.
Frank seems like he's got more talent in his left pinky finger than... I don't want to completely rip on myself, but yeah, something along those lines. Very, very, very skilled, it seems, listening to him, and super nice guy, too. And also, we got Dylan Secura coming up here in about...
I'm so jacked, man. This kid can play. Jeremy's boys can play. So I'm pretty psyched for Dylan.
Okay, and I think that Dylan is calling in, perhaps, Ben, on the old guest line in there. 312-981-7200. Real quick, there's some sort of slightly bizarre Cubs news today. I don't know if it's bizarre is the right word. But the Cubs have signed a pitcher by the name of Kendall Graveman.
Kendall Graveman.
You know who he is? You ever heard of a Kendall Graveman?
I've heard of Jason Kendall, the former catcher.
Uh-huh. What else do you got?
Kendall Graveman. I would say I am unfamiliar with the works of a Kendall Graveman.
Yeah, I think that, and so my point is that the Cubs are shopping with the Kendall Gravemans right now. They're looking at Kendall Graveman. Kendall Graveman, the graveyard, the end of the line, the grave man.
Mm-hmm.
He was the opening day starter for the Oakland A's last year. Then he had Tommy John surgery. And, yeah, he had an ERA of 7.60. And he had 34 innings and one-third innings of work.
Well... Well, Danny, the world needs ditch diggers too.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if the guy is healthy, I mean,
no, I'm sure it's a great flyer on somebody. I just think it's interesting where the Cubs are at.
But it's not like the Cubs haven't already, you know, put together a rotation. Remember, they re-upped Cole Hamels.
I understand. You're looking at
John Lester, who's a beast.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You know, Hendricks, Quintana, Hamels, and if Darvish can't go, Montgomery.
Right, we can, right. I just, you know, there's these Bryce Harpers and these Manny Machados out there. Anyway.
A little Hawks music into your Hawks guest?
Sure, we could get some Hawks music into a Hawks guest if you want, Harry. Sure, would you like to have a little music before your Dylan Secura? I think that's a great idea. If there you go, Dylan. Thank you for
going, guys.
Thanks for taking time. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
You're Dylan. What would you say as far as the highlight for you early in the, you know, in your Hawks career? I'm guessing that it's just sort of like feeling like you actually belong on the ice and have the talent to do this, because that's shown itself a bunch of times already.
Yeah, I think that's something that in the first couple of games, just getting your feet wet, you know, now 5 or 6 games in, you start to feel like that. And obviously being on a win streak, the win streak helps the cause. I think the mood around the room and the vibes around the guys are pretty high right now.
Hey, Dylan, you know, it's a pleasure to watch you. I thought for sure you were going to break camp with the team, and I was surprised that you didn't. And I believe that your uncle is pretty close with Coach Q. When you didn't break with the team, instead of getting mad, you just rededicated yourself. How hard was it to rededicate yourself and put yourself in a position to come up here and be even better?
Yeah, obviously that was pretty tough for me, but I think just pretty much day one, I think that day I got sent down. I was in Rockford practicing that day, so you really didn't have too much time to think about it and ponder that. So I think, you know, for me, going down to Rockford with a positive mindset was huge, and just know that you're going down there to get better and to play and develop, and that you'd be back up hopefully before Christmas time. So I think it all worked out pretty well.
Now, I know that you have had, like, these big, you know, huge offensive, you know, rushes and goals, you know, heading into your NHL career, but you're doing little things, and I think that's why fans love you, is because you're also doing little things now. Like, the other night, the first goal in Dallas, after the Stars almost score but are denied in the opening 15 seconds, the Hawks win a faceoff down in their end, and you, playing right wing, get the puck back to the Cat, and DeBrincat just slips one into the net. So it's that little stuff like that. You know, Chicagoans work hard and play hard, and I think they're going to love you, Dylan Secura, as your career embarks. How important is it for you to be able to do those little things?
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, for me, that's crucial. I think the defensive aspect of the game is something that I've been trying to work on over the last couple of years. I think at this level, you have to be a complete player, you know, would like to say a 200-foot player. And, you know, you have to be responsible. And I think in order for me to earn ice time with Coach, it's about gaining his trust. And, you know, you have to do those little things. And I think they go a long way. So I think I got to just continue doing those things. And hopefully they lead into bigger things.
Now, Dylan, you have a brother that's playing for the Rockford IceHawks, correct? Tyler?
Correct. Yeah.
So what's that like? I mean, he's got to be a little bit jealous of you right now.
No, it was awesome. I think I got a chance to live with him and two other guys down in Rockford, and you know, we got to spend pretty much all our days together, and you know, go to the rink together and play on a line for that matter for most of my time down there. So you know, to be able to share that with him and my family was pretty special.
I mean, you and your brother are so different than me and my brothers. I mean, me and my brothers, like, the coolest thing we do is like order Chinese food in. You guys are like making the NHL. You know, Eddie O, the great Eddie Olczyk, accidentally gave your brother the credit for the helper on Friday night. Did you hear about that?
I did not, no.
Yeah, he said, great play there by Tyler Secura to set up the goal. And then he caught himself, but, you know, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I'm going to have a word with him.
Hell yeah. Now, I know this about you. My dad loved racehorses, and he, you know.
I knew this was the reason that Harry specifically wanted to talk to you, Dylan. But this is going to be big.
Well, I'm just saying, Dylan's dad and Dylan's uncle are two great horsemen, mm-hmm. and they have Hillendale Farm, where Curlin, the greatest distance sire in the world, stands. And how do you have this, like, white-collar background, but play with this blue-collar hockey attitude where you're constantly giving your body up to assure that the play keeps moving forward for your team?
Yeah, maybe it's just something that, you know, growing up on a farm, you kind of learn that the hard way. But, no, I think that's something that's pretty special. And, you know, like you said, it, horse racing's been a part of my family ever since the day I was born, and you know, it's something that kind of sticks with our family, and it's awesome.
Now you guys stand studs, so do you think if you have a great enough hockey career that rather than the typical, you know, marriage, that you will one day stand at stud?
Let's hope.
Pretty cool, Carm.
It's amazing how many times during a show I get super uncomfortable, and we've had
keeps you on your toes, buddy.
Yeah, no, I saw that one coming from a million miles away, Dylan. I hope you're in a good spirit on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Hey, so what do you put on the I guess biggest reason why you guys are starting to play better hockey as of late?
You know, I think we're just coming together as a team, and, you know, we've had some new faces, obviously, with myself and a couple guys in and out, but I think, for the most part, the older guys have done a great job of leading, and, you know, I think we're kind of finally putting together a full 60 minutes worth of, good hockey, and, you know, we're getting out to those leads at the start and kind of playing with the lead and sticking with it, and, you know, I think credit to the team for two pretty big wins against two pretty good teams in Dallas and Colorado, and obviously in Nashville too. But you know, you can tell in the room that the guys are used to winning, and they really enjoy it. So it's been fun.
And Dylan, you know, as a left-handed shooter playing right wing, if only there were somebody on your team that was pretty good in the NHL that you could, like, you know, look up to. How about Patrick Kane is right there with you? Have you developed a relationship with Patrick Kane, who is lethal? You know, I believe he's still a top five player in the NHL. Have you developed any kind of relationship with Kane where you said, hey, buddy, I'm going to be just like you someday?
Yeah, he's, you know, he's someone that I always looked up to as a kid and watched as a kid. So it's pretty surreal to be, you know, sharing the same uniform and, you know, being on the same ice as him. And he's a guy that that I really look up to and try to learn from each and every day, whether it's just in practice or during games, and, you know, how he carries himself. And he's an awesome guy. You know, he's always there if you need any tips or whatnot. And, you know, he's been awesome.
All right, so Carm and I are huge advocates of you, and we think there's a reason that they're playing well. It's because you're up with the team now. But how did you not score that goal last night? What the hell happened there?
I know. I lost some sleep over that one last night, that's for sure.
Many more to come, Dylan, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just got to get that first one out of the way. I think that's the hardest one to score. So.
Yeah, and are you on Twitter yet?
Yeah.
Come on,
what is your Twitter feed, sir? What is your Twitter handle?
D, and then Sicky, Sikky 11.
Give it to me one more time. Because
I got it.
You got it?
Yes, I got you.
I spent like 10 minutes last night trying to find his damn Twitter handle.
If you put in his name in Twitter.
I put in his name.
I don't think you did.
Yeah, I did. There's other Dylan Sakuras in the world.
I don't know.
Carm.
I put in his name, and there he is, the first thing that pops up. It's this thing called, like, searching Twitter. Dylan, I'm gonna have a class with Harry after this. We'll work on that. Right?
Yeah, perfect.
Hey, congrats on your success. Congrats on being out with the club. Appreciate you joining us, and best of luck against the Panthers tomorrow.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
It was our pleasure, most definitely. Dylan Sakura of your Chicago Blackhawks on 720 WGN. Twitter has this search thing.
I know what a search is, Carm.
I don't know if you do. I don't think you do, Harry Tynowitz.
I could not find his Twitter handle for the life of me last night.
312-981-7200. Does Harry know how to use Google? Your thoughts. It's after a quick timeout. 720 WGN. Want to get to Alberto, who's been waiting patiently, but just real fast about the hairy Twitter. Do you know why hashtags exist, out of curiosity? Do you know what it's for?
Yeah, to get as many people that are interested in what you're talking about to notice your tweet.
So how does the hashtag work exactly?
The hashtag works. If I want to talk about the Bears, I'll put hashtag the Bears, and then all the Bears fans will see that, and you know, because they love the Bears as much as I do. And so they'll be like, hey, man, someone's tweeting about the Bears.
So in order to like search a topic, like you would put in like hashtag Bears in the search bar and click and see everyone is talking about it? Because
yeah, and sometimes it's trending.
Okay. I'm not sure that you 100% get the old... Because Harry's tweet is that we're expressing what hashtag the Bears. Now, people that are searching for Bears talk, they might actually be searching Bears more than Da Bears.
So you well, Da Bears is the officially recognized NFL Twitter.
Okay, fair enough.
Maybe you don't know how that works.
I don't, so maybe I just learned something. Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough. Okay, I am not the expert here. I'm just...
I am not an expert either.
I'm rudimentary Twitter skills here. I'm just... That's where we're... I'm not trying to be elite.
Carm, I'm amazed he's got it that...
Harry's
that down at that, you know, to that level.
Because,
I mean, coming from the hunting and gathering period, I'm impressed.
Well, and Harry, for the record, is a very good tweeter. At least he's a very active tweeter. @HeyTweetHarry.
Constantly promoting WGN Radio.
Constantly promoting WGN Radio. Constantly promoting the Blackhawks. It's a beautiful thing.
All sports teams. White Sox?
Absolutely. Yeah. White Sox, too. Sure. Absolutely. All over the place. @AnthemSinger has a new album on. High flying, hashtag Blackhawks, young stud, hashtag Dylan Sicker.
I couldn't for the life of me find his Twitter.
That's so good. I'm sorry I missed that tweet before the show. I would have led the show with it. Hashtag Dylan Segura might be your best Twitter moment to this point. That's as if people are searching that rather than just putting his name in or actually his Twitter, which I put in the search bar and then it pops right up @DSIKKY11.
See, when I went there, what popped up was all these tweets with hashtag Dylan Segura.
Oh, I'm sure.
He is at the Carm, and I am at Hey Tweet Harry.
Alberto, welcome to 720 WGN. Thanks for being patient. You wanted to chime in on the Bulls conversation?
Oh, yeah, no problem. First of all, my wife and the dinner couple that are meeting, I go ahead. You guys are the best show. I'm sitting in the car. I waved off the valet right in front of Maple and Ash. My wife and the other couple thinks I'm crazy. But you just don't get radio like this anymore in Chicago. It's two guys that you can relate to. Clearly Chicago guys. I can't tell you how appreciative I am to have found you guys on the dial. It's been a long time.
Thanks,
great to
Alberto.
See you guys together.
Yeah,
truly, you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. And by the way, on that bumper coming in, with OB and Hampton, do they not have the glue, Mark Carmen, on that show anymore? Because it's all due respect. If you're not on that show with them, Mark, I'm not listening. So can you please have the production staff add your name to that?
Yeah, come on, Carm. Your Bears championship moment was better than Hamps or OB's.
Alberto, I appreciate the sentiment. That's very nice of you to say.
I really love you guys. Couple things. I'm asked listening to the entire show when you started. Biggest difference is if you could attribute it to one thing. I think Harry's kind of hitting it right on the nail with Ryan Pace. The guy's got the kahunas like Theo Epstein. You're not going to hit a home run every time. See exhibit Hugh Darvish. See exhibit Kevin White. But he keeps swinging. And unlike Garpax, when you look at what's working in Chicago sports and what's not working, it all starts at the talent management, the general manager, and it's clearly, you know, Mark, I didn't think that Pritzker passed the legalization yet, but that conspiracy theory you have, I would love to have some of that hybrid indica, whatever that is. That is clearly... the most ridiculous. Bob Roorman and Max Mattson to do a better job than John Paxson and Gar Foreman. They are completely inept. If they were to run a business or a public company, they would have lasted as long as the guy from Pier 1.
Alberto, great
He's
call.
Mad. He's mad.
That's outstanding.
Alberto, you're something special, buddy.
Max Mattson and Bob Roorman could do a better job.
Bob Roorman.
Roorman and Mattson over Gar and Pax. 312-981-7200. Would you like to follow Alberto the caller's lead that the Bulls should go Roorman and Mattson over Gar and Pax?
Hey, we are just we are just days away from the Blackhawks playing at Notre Dame Stadium in the Winter Classic New Year's Day, and we have a pair of awesome tickets.
We do. So after the 6:30 news, we're looking for your best. I want to do New Year's resolutions.
Then do them, buddy boy.
I want to hear what you're going to do next year better, that you want to start your year on New Year's Day going to see the Blackhawks at Notre Dame Stadium, the Winter Classic, and you'll actually make it there to see the Boston Bruins. Judd Surratt will be there, too.
Yep, Jim Cornelison's going to sing. Gene Honda's going to be doing all the announcements. This is the Blackhawks take over Notre Dame.
312-981-7200. Give me the thing you're going to do better next year, and we'll give you. We'll, if you qualify, we'll give you the two tickets. WGN. This is the Beat. Carmen Harry with you till 7 o'clock. Special moment. What's going on there, Harry? You look forlorn.
I have a new parody song.
What?
I have a new parody song.
Is that why you've been in and out of the studio all day?
I've been working. Brett Jackson, bless his heart, has done all the hard work, and we just.
What's the song?
I won't have it ready for you.
Is that why you look unhappy? Because it's not going to be ready today?
I don't know if it'll be ready today. And you know, Guth ain't playing it.
Well, you could have told me you were having a little Harry concoction going on in the other room. I would have supported you. I could have done like an extra 5 minutes on my own. We would have survived.
Well, I've been told not to let you do the 5 minutes. I feel your support.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the song? Are you going to keep it under your hat?
I'm keeping it under my hat.
Okay. All right. Well, I look forward to hearing it whenever it's ready. Next week, a month from now, whatever you got.
Uh-huh.
All right, so hey, we got a pair of Blackhawks tickets. See the Boston Bruins and the Winter Classic, Notre Dame Stadium, New Year's Day, 312-981-7200. I literally spent my entire ride back from Galena today just ruminating on what my New Year's resolutions will be. Like, what can I do better in 2019? Do you do this every year?
No. I just always say that I am going to, lose weight, and I'm usually pretty good at it for the first month, week, day.
Yeah, okay. This year, we can work on this next week.
Yeah.
But so we're looking for some good ones that maybe will inspire everybody, and if you inspire us, we're going to give you the tickets here. We're going to take a bunch of calls, and we'll put you on hold if you're going to be a final candidate, okay? That's the plan. You like it?
Yes. I would like to light a fire under my children to grasp the opportunities that are all around them.
Your New Year's resolution is to light a fire under your kids?
To for them to grasp their opportunities.
And how will you do that as Father Harry?
I got to change it up. I got to zag where I usually zig.
Zig where you zag where you zig?
Yeah, that's it. That's something like that.
So you want to be, so your New Year's resolution is to hold your kids more accountable in 2019?
No, to make them aware that there's so much more that they...
To show them that the world is full of abundance, they can do whatever they want to do.
That they are full of.
That they are.
Right. That they have the ability to do wonderful things.
Well, Reggie and Lucy absolutely should be able to see that with your guidance, Harry.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Trying to be more noble.
All right.
It's not about me anymore, Carm. Well, I hear that 6 times a day.
Okay. Let us, this is, Harry can't win because that would be illegal, so you can. Steve in Lincoln Square, you want these tickets, Steve?
I sure do, yeah.
Okay. What are you going to do better in 2019, Steve?
So I swear I had this in mind before you came back from the break. I walk around the house. I shouldn't admit this on the air, but I want those tickets. I love messing with the lyrics to songs. I sing stupid songs and change up the lyrics for my dog all the time.
Okay.
I wanna start making my own parody songs because I was inspired by that Tariq song.
Oh. You were inspired by Harry's Tariq song?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's awesome. It's so funny.
I knew it's you were ridiculous. Making a difference in the world. I knew you were making a difference.
Yeah. He sings it for his dogs.
So
can you give us a sample of one of your parody songs, Steve?
Oh man, I don't like singing the idea of singing on the air, but like you heard the hand clap song, right?
Have I heard it? Mark Carman danced to it.
Yeah, it's like it's on all the time, right? So you know, my dog when you're looking at her, like she flaps her tail. So I change it to like I can make your tail flap.
See,
I'm missing the resolution here. Is it to sing more to your animals?
Is to actually do something with it, because I actually like getting creative with that stuff. Okay. But I never actually like save any of it.
Okay, all right, I like it. You're trying to take your talents and moving it forward. Hang on, Steve.
When you get your first parody song written, send it to us. We'll put it on the air, maybe.
I will do that. It'll be Blackhawks themed since I have season tickets.
There's a very low bar to getting songs on the air on this show, Steve. You have a great chance. We will absolutely do it for you.
Please let Alexi sing the song.
No. I meant a high bar. Low / high. You get where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
Cindy in Aurora, welcome to WGN. What's up, Cindy?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a great New Year's resolution for myself.
Okay.
My resolution is that I am the mom of two teenage boys and a Labrador Retriever. I'm a one-year breast cancer survivor.
Wow.
And starting January 1st, I'm going to put my name on the top of the list and practice self-care.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it.
That's awesome.
Cindy, you're a big Blackhawks fan?
Yes, my boys travel soccer, and I grew up playing sports, so that's all I know. So, yes, we are a hockey stan. I wear my purple hockey cares cancer jersey all around, and people want to know why I have it and where I got it from. And so I am inspiring people to begin with, but when I heard the New Year's resolution, this is for me this year. I can continue in my recovery.
You're awesome, Cindy. Now, can you make the game yourself, or will you give the tickets to someone else?
No, I will have to draw straws.
With her sons.
And figure out,
who will join you?
Okay. Which one of my sons will join me.
Fair enough. Okay, hang on, Cindy. We got two really good candidates here. We got Steve, we got Cindy. Let's try Guy. Unless you want to make a decision right now, Harry.
No. We need more. We got more show. Okay. We're not up against the clock here.
We're absolutely not. Guy, welcome to WGN. What's your resolution for the Blackhawks tickets?
What's up, boys? Pleasure to talk to you. My resolution is basically mainstream, but I have bipolar. I'm bipolar, so my main goal is to get out of the house more often. I'm kind of turned into an isolationist, and
please, please turn your radio down for a sec.
Guy, that's awesome. Guy, that is awesome.
I'm sorry.
You're fine, Guy.
That's all right. We're not mad at you. We're mad at the other guy.
Well, some people call me Squat, too.
Hey, Guy, you know what you're doing right now?
Yeah.
You're out of the house right now, Guy. You're doing it right now, man.
I've been... And I also don't want to set a goal for January 1st because I think I'm gonna. That always fails.
Yeah, you just want to make it a part of you.
And never been heavier in my life. 385, and I don't want to lose. We live in a society with immediate gratification. I just don't want to do that. I want to lose 1 pound a month until I get down to where I was before.
One step at a time.
Basically, health and
all right. We feel you.
I got you, guy. You're awesome, guy.
It's very, very noble, and you know the the longest journey begins with a single step.
And we're all in our own battles. Wherever you are, you just got to, right? You own that, and you move forward from there. Guy, you're awesome. Appreciate that call. We'll do two more here for the Blackhawks tickets. Gary in Hoffman Estates, New Year's resolution for you for Blackhawks tickets for the Winter Classic.
Well, Mark and Harry, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And my resolution is I'm going to stop buying losing lottery tickets.
Good one, Gary.
That's a good idea. How you gonna do that?
Well, I'm figuring, you know, going back to church sure ain't going to hurt.
That's true. How much money do you think you spend in a week, in a month on the lottery?
Even with a little, I'm probably losing 50% of what I spend, but I'm probably spending $1,000 a month.
Okay. Whoa. The lottery, man. It's like you throw 10 bucks in there, you know, 5 bucks, 20 bucks.
Gary's going big.
Whoa.
Well, I mean, that's why I got to stop buying the losing ones.
I got to tell you, I'm very impressed with the three noble calls we had. People wanting to improve their mental health and come back from, a cancer survivor. And that, of course, will drive so many other people, to go get tested and stuff like that. I'm glad that Gary, doesn't try to pain them. He just comes in and says, "Hey, I'm gonna stop buying losing lotto tickets."
Well, right. I think Gary might have a little bit of addiction going on here too to the old lottery,
which is
okay. Gary, we all have our things. Don't take that as
Church can only help.
Yep, there you go.
That's
all right,
true.
Hang on, Gary. You're in the mix. You're in the mix. One more. Let's get Joyce in Orland Park on the 720 WGN and our Blackhawks 2 tickets to the Winter Classic contest. Here, Joyce, what's your move for the new year?
Well, I'm going to start living small and purge my house of everything that I've collected all these years and make certain that it all goes to somebody who needs it a lot more than I do.
Are you are you a hoarder, or are you just
not at all. No, but you collect things all these years that you're going to use or that look nice in your house. Well, they'd look nice in somebody else's house. There's a lot of people who can't afford things these days, and if I have it and they can use it, then so be it. Let them have it.
You're beautiful, Joyce.
That's very unselfish of you.
We have some tough Joyce. Hang on. We got some tough ones here. Harry, you wanna handle this? I'll let you pick it.
Oh man,
because I really don't want to.
I mean, this is rough. I mean, they're all great. I think I laughed the hardest at the stop buying losing lottery tickets.
That was Gary.
Right, but I think, what was it, Cindy, who's the hockey mom, soccer mom, and she's going to,
I think Cindy's a great
check.
Yeah.
I would say Cindy probably
gets the win.
All
right,
and a photo finish over Gary.
Steve, Gary, Joyce, Guy, you're all awesome. But Cindy, congratulations!
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. This is so awesome. I can't even begin to tell you.
Well, we're glad it sounds like you really appreciate it, and you're going to enjoy it. We'd love for you to tell one of your sons right now that he's not going with you. You don't have to now.
Don't do that, Cindy. Leave it out there. Let them, you can use this as a carrot if you behave really well.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, how about I tell the dog, Max, that he has to watch us on TV? How about that?
You've got the same name of your dog as the Grinch had of his.
No, there's one caveat here, Cindy. You live in Aurora, so that's not next door. You do have to come down to the station to get these tickets. Is that correct, Mr. Ben? That is correct. So your name's going to be on a list, but you got to pick up the tickets this Thursday. And I'll let Ben give you the details, but you got to come on in. So hopefully maybe we'll run into you, Cindy. All right.
Yes, I appreciate it so much. And, of course, I'll drive into Chicago to pick up tickets.
This
is so awesome. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
It's
our pleasure. You can hear every Blackhawks game right here on WGN Radio, including tomorrow, Bowden Tweets has your pregame at 5:30, and then John Weideman, Troy Murray, 6:08 puck drop, the Hawks and the Florida Talons.
Cindy, hang on. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you. you.
All right, there we go. Are you you going down there at Notre Dame Stadium there, Mr. Tynowitz?
I wish. I am not going to Notre Dame Stadium, but I am. I have Todd Manley seats for tomorrow night.
Oh,
I am
taking you.
Yeah,
look,
I have a chair. I have a chair.
Well,
I am sitting in the
those are the primos.
That's, yes, Todd gives me Lucy's. My daughter's born in December. She gets birthday, Hanukkah, Christmas all in the same month, and Todd Manley always sponsors her night at the Hawks game.
Well, that's awesome. Have a great, great time. I'll be thinking of you.
Thank you, and thanks to Rogo for putting her name up on the birthday.
Aw, look at you.
Yeah.
Just taking care. 720 WGN. Not going to lie, Harry's in the other studio cutting his song. Mark Harmon, though, and Harry with you until 7 o'clock. Amy Guth has walked in the building as well. We'll talk to Amy in a matter of moments. I do have one message for you. You have all had dreams growing up of seeing your name in lights around the marquee of the Chicago Theater, even written out in the stars in the night sky. And even though the stars won't actually spell out your name, we do have a product that can fulfill these dreams. It's the 2019 Chicago Personalized Calendars. They are back and available now at WGNRadio.com. Made to order with any name you choose, artistically incorporated into Chicago's legendary scenes that if it was actually a part of an actual photograph. It's produced by our friends at 2Ks. These new calendars will help you stay organized as well and give you a sense of awe. Give the thoughtful gift that lasts year-long, and best yet, you can remind someone how much they mean to you while they use it every day. To order yours, visit WGNRadio.com. Scroll to the feature section. Check out how you can become a part of Chicago. Harry is returning. Is the song done?
No.
The song's not done. You're out of breath, though.
Well, yeah, because I give it my all.
Yes. What is the song?
The song is...
What sport?
Spoilers?
Is it? Can I get a sport?
Yes, it's women's lacrosse. No, I'm not giving you the sport.
Not giving me the sport.
It's a very topical Chicago sports hero.
It's a very topical Chicago sports hero.
Yes,
sounds
it's
like
you, Carm.
So you're doing Khalil Mack?
Khalil Mack is very parody song worthy, wouldn't you say?
Did I get it right?
No.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Hey, just a brief primer for tomorrow. Huge game for the Bears. Well, let me walk that back. It's a fairly big game for the Bears. We'll see. I don't think they're going to be catching either the Saints or the LA Rams for home field. They're locked into the 3-seed, but I think just playing well, having momentum, so to speak, I do believe in building even further confidence going to the playoffs, that will not hurt this Bears team.
Right, and they've got, you know, they're going to get a home playoff game, at least one, and they're going to go on the road twice before they do that, and then after they win that home playoff game, should the Rams and the Saints get byes, they'll have to go to the Rams and the Saints to get to the Super Bowl. So these next 2 weeks are very important. They've got to go to two difficult places to win and get wins.
And the Niners are playing much better football as of late. They're 4-10, but Nick Mullins, their undrafted quarterback, has been playing excellent football. Our pregame show tomorrow, 1-3, Hamp, OB, and Kaz. And, of course, the Blackhawks are playing tonight with the Florida Panthers at the United Center. So no postgame show. The Bears are
Blackhawks tomorrow night. Right. The Bears are 3:05 kick.
3:05 kick tomorrow. So we won't be doing the postgame, but we will have a special pregame show for you.
That'll be great.
And yeah, looking forward to it. And let's take our last time out, actually, and we'll crosstalk with Amy for a second here and say our goodbyes. And maybe the song will be ready?
We just got started. Now, the song won't be ready today.
Okay.
I'm so just disheartened by it all.
Okay, well, next week, perhaps. 720 WGN.
Damn.